Okay. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Radha Damodara Temple. So today we're going to be speaking from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and I'm going to speak about one of the most famous verses in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the eighth text in the fourth chapter. And I think most of you know this text. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shagaranjana Shlakaya Chakshura Meritam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. And that text, I think everybody knows, is Pritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Jadishkutam. You know that verse? Dharma Samstap and Arpaya Sambhavami. Yuge, yuge. And so, the translation given by Prabhupada is to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish. It's a little bassy. You know, understand that? This is very bassy. You turn up the treble, turn down the echo. Hare Krishna. That's very bassy too. Turn down the bass, turn up the treble. And turn off the echo.
Echo
off. Hare Krishna. Face down, treble up. Face is the lower register, treble is the upper register. No, see those little levers? Little levers there.
Push, no, up. Those are up, the ones on the bottom are down. That's up. But all the three on the bottom should go down. All the way down.
Hare Krishna. That's easier. And turn the volume up.
Volume of my microphone, not...
Hare Krishna. Okay, that's better. See? Little technical knowledge helps. So, repeating the translation, to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself event millennium after millennium. And I'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport. According to the Bhagavad Gita, a sadhu or a holy man is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness wholly and fully, he has to be understood to be a sadhu. And Dushkritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants, or Dushkritinam, are described as foolish and the lowest of mankind, even though they may be decorated with mundane education. Whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may be neither learned nor well-cultured. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with the demons Ravana and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons. For the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees, that means pure devotees, who are always harassed by the demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Kin means relatives. Although Pallad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudev were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than to kill Kamsa, but both were performed simultaneously. Therefore, it is said that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita,
Doesn't
sound like ecstasy to me. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj, the following verses in the Madhyalila, 20th chapter, 263 to 264, summarize these principles of incarnation.
Srishti hetu ye murti prapanche avatar, se ishvara murti avatara namadar, mayatita parovyame sabara avastan, vishwe avatari dare avatare nam. That's Bengali. The avatar or incarnation of God descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead who so descends is called an incarnation or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. There are various kinds of avatars, such as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Shaktyavish avatars, Manvantara avatars, and Yuga avatars, all appearing on schedule all over the universe. But Lord Krishna is the primeval Lord, the fountainhead of all avatars. Lord Shri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating the anxieties of the pure devotees who are very anxious to see him in his original Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatar is to satisfy his unalloyed devotees. The Lord says that he incarnates himself in every millennium. This indicates that he incarnates also in the age of Kali. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the incarnation of the age of Kali is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who spread the worship of Krishna by the Sankirtan movement, that is, congregational chanting of the holy names, and spread Krishna consciousness throughout India. He predicted that this culture of Sankirtan would be broadcast all over the world from town to town and from village to village. Lord Chaitanya, as the incarnation of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is described secretly, but not directly, in the confidential parts of the revealed scriptures such as the Upanishads, Mahabharata, and Bhagavatam. The devotees of Lord Krishna are very much attracted by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. This avatar of the Lord does not kill the miscreants, but delivers them by his causeless mercy. So, Paritranaya Sadunam. Vinashaya Chadushkritam Dharma Samstap Anarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge Somaganat Timidandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshura Miditam Yenatasmai Shigurve Namaha. So I was thinking today about the various incarnations of God. That's why I picked this verse. And specifically, the word avatar means to cross down. It's interesting, isn't it? And there's an interesting word related to the word, the tara. Tara means to cross, and ava means down. So, downward crossing. And there's a similar word that we use in regard to holy places, which is tirtha, or tirthara, which means to cross over. It's like a crossing place, or a bridge, right? So it's a bridge. A tirtha, or a holy place, such as this temple, is a crossing place whereby you can cross to the spiritual world. That's why Prabhupada said the temple is Vaikuntha. Or for those of you who have watched some science fiction films, anyone ever watch a science fiction film? There's something called a portal, where you can cross from one part of the universe to another. Anyway, I think some of you young people know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so that's the meaning of tara in avatara, to cross. And avatara means that incarnation of the Lord that crosses down to come to us. So when Krishna comes down, he comes down in such a way that is extremely interesting. Like, it's not that he just simply takes a jet plane and comes down and brings out a gun and starts shooting the miscreants. Like modern day armies, you know, they have different pistols, like what, M16 or Uzis. What? AK-47. He's expert in these things. I wish he was so expert in Krishna consciousness. So you read about the different wars where the soldiers have these. It's not that God comes down with an AK-47, like
Anyway, like a Terminator or something like that. It is not exactly like that. He comes down in such interesting ways. And I was thinking about these interesting ways in which Krishna comes down. I mean, let's take some of his non-human ways. Because Krishna appears sometimes in non-human forms. I mean, you have the fish incarnation, you have the tortoise incarnation, many different types of half-man, half-lion incarnation, a boar incarnation. A boar is like a big pig, a wild pig. That's what a boar is. I don't know, do you have boars here in Fiji? Wild pigs with tusks on them like that? And small ones. When I was young, one time I went to this place called the Bahamas, which are islands in the Caribbean. That's actually near America. The Caribbean is, anyway, it's near Cuba, America, like that. And I stayed there meditating, trying to find out the absolute truth one time. This is before I came in contact with Krishna consciousness. So I was dropped off in a private plane on a road where there was nobody there for many, many kilometers around. And I was meditating. But the problem was there were big boars there. Giant boars with tusks. So as I was trying to meditate, the boars were screaming at night. And I was shaking, so I couldn't meditate. So that's what a boar is. A big pig with tusks on it. So Krishna appears in these variety of forms. And what he does is simply amazing. And even Krishna sometimes appears as a lady. Let me tell some stories about this, some of the different incarnations. Once upon a time, there were demons. Of course, there were always demons. But it's interesting that the demons and the demigods come from the same father. His father's name is Kashyapa. He's one of the Prajapatis. That means the people who fill the universe with children. I mean, some of you may have one or two children, but he has millions and billions of children, grandchildren, and some of them are snakes, some of them are birds, not all human beings. So Kashyapa has several wives. Specifically, we're talking about Diti and Aditi. Aditi is the mother of all the demons, the Daityas. And there's also another lady called Danu, who is a mother of all the Danavas, who are also demons. And then Aditi is the mother of all the demigods. That's Indra and all the other demigods. She's like their mother. So these demons and demigods, they're always in competition. They're fighting each other. And sometimes the demons become more powerful. I'll tell you a story about this. Very interesting. Once upon a time, the demons have a spiritual master too. His name is Shukracharya. And the reason he became the demon spiritual master, it was that he was envious of the demigods because they didn't make him a spiritual master. He thought, I should be the spiritual master of the demigods. And they said, no, we want Brihaspati instead. So he said, I'm going to teach those demigods a lesson. I'm going to become the guru of the demons. And as the guru of the demons, he got a power better or stronger or more important than the power of Brihaspati. And that power was the Mrityu Sanjeevani. He could bring his disciples back to life. That's the sort of guru you need to have, right? Who, after you die, he can bring you back to life. Wouldn't it be nice to have a guru like that? He takes you in the hospital. You go into the hospital, the guru, and says, Gurudev, bring all these people back to life. And so he could do that. He actually performed many austerities to get that power. So, therefore, the demons got more powerful than the demigods. Because they would fight the demigods. Demigods would kill them. And Shukracharya would say, okay, come back to life. And they come back to life again. And so the demigods got really worried. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to defeat these demons? And so Krishna had a plan. That's right. Krishna had a plan. He said, look, You should make a deal with the demons. Because when you can't defeat someone, you should make a deal with them. Isn't it? That's ordinary etiquette, or it's called Niti Shastra. You know, either make friends with someone or fight with them. And if you can't defeat them, make them your friend. So, make a deal with the demons, and you should churn this ocean called the Milk Ocean, the Shira Sagara, or Shira Sagar, depending whether you speak Hindi or Sanskrit. So, it's actually Shira in Sanskrit, and Sagara in Sanskrit. So, make a deal, you churn this big milk ocean, and out of that milk ocean, you're going to get nectar. And you can drink the nectar and become just as powerful as the demons. Or even more powerful, because once you drink the nectar, you can't die. You won't have to worry about being brought back to life, because you'll never die. And so, the demigods, they went to the demons, and they said, let's make a deal, turn the ocean, get the nectar. Okay. So they made the deal, but they had to use as a rope, because in those days you couldn't buy a rope. They had to use this serpent called Vasuki. He's a very big serpent. And there was a discussion who would take the tail and who would take the head of the serpent. So naturally, the demigods took the tail. And the demons thought, this is very nice. Now we can have the head. Head is more auspicious than a tail, right? But not in the case of a serpent. In the case of a serpent, the tail is better than the head. Because the head, the head has the mouth. And the mouth exudes, that means comes out, poisonous fumes. So the demons, they were churning and they got to smell the bad breath of the serpent. And they became very nauseous, you know. They actually became sick. So they were churning. A lot of things. But actually, before we get to the point of what came out, they had to use this Mandara Mountain, that is a giant mountain bigger than the Himalayas, as a churning rod. But then every time they tried to use this Mandara Mountain, it kept sinking to the bottom of the sea. So therefore, the Lord had to appear as the tortoise incarnation, Kurma, the Kurma avatar. So that's this, one of the first avatars. He appeared as the Kurma avatar, and he said, all right, you can put the mountain on top of me. And so as they were churning, he supported the mountain. And not only that, it's described, they massaged his back by the churning and polished his jewels. So they did service. Even the demons were doing service. Interesting, isn't it? He engaged, it's called the Gyata Sukriti, how he engaged the demons in serving him. So churning. A lot of things came out. One thing that came out was poison. And they called for Lord Shiva to take care of the poison. So eventually, also Lord Vishnu had to be on top of the mountain, another avatar, to support it. Because when you're using something to churn, you have to support on the top and the bottom. Especially if it's a very big mountain or something like that. So he supported the top and he supported the bottom. Two different avatars simultaneously. Pretty good, isn't it? So then they kept churning. Eventually, the nectar came out. But the demons stole the nectar. The deal originally was to divide it equally between the demons and the devotees. And the demons took it all. Of course, the demons were fighting each other over who would drink it first. So they didn't drink it right away. They kept punching each other. That's the nature of demons. Nature of demons is that Prabhatim cha, Nivritim cha, jana, na, vudur, asura. They don't know good behavior. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. They simply engage in activities that are harmful to themselves and harmful to others. It's like the story that Prabhupada tells sometimes, that you have a gang of dacoits, of robbers, and they steal something, and then they fight with each other how to divide it between each other. And they say, after they've stolen some money, they said, let us divide it honestly. Which is kind of stupid. So They're dishonest, so how can they be honest? So the demons, they took all the nectar. And the demigods, they went to Krishna saying, you have to help us. Pahimam, Rakshamam, you have to help us, Krishna. Protect us. If those demons drink the nectar, they'll be even stronger. So you promised us the nectar. So Krishna said, don't worry. I will take back the nectar from the demons. So the way Krishna did it is another incarnation. See, what I'm explaining is that Krishna does the Paritranaya Sadanam Vinachai Duskritam, annihilating the miscreants, protecting the devotees, establishing religious principles in interesting ways, really interesting ways, much more interesting than some Bollywood movie or some Hollywood movie. So that this time, Krishna decided to take away the nectar from the demons as a lady. He appeared as the incarnation called Mohini Murti. So Krishna became the most beautiful lady, and this lady appeared in front of the demons and said, I don't know how to imitate, but anyway, she said, hi, demons. You're all so handsome. I don't really know. I mean, I'm a sannyasi, so I don't know about these things. But I'm just making believe I know about how the ladies act. So I said, hi, demons. And all the demons, they just looked at her and went, oh. Because when Krishna becomes a lady, that's the most attractive lady. You understand? It's like Krishna himself. That's why the word Krishna means the most attractive person. I mean, Krishna is most attractive because he's most beautiful, most famous, most renowned, most intelligent, most strong. All these different qualities. Therefore, he's known as Bhagawan. Bhagawan means full of opulences. So when Krishna takes the form of a lady, all these opulences are there within that lady. So they became so bewildered. Then eventually, she was he. Krishna's the original cross-dresser, as they say. You know what cross-dresser means? No. Nowadays, people have this operation, this exchange operation to Krishna. All these things are there in the spiritual realm, originally. So Krishna said to them in this female form, Mohini Murti, let me divide the nectar fairly between all of you. And they said, we trust you. And Krishna said, but you shouldn't trust me because I'm so beautiful. That doesn't make sense. You shouldn't trust me. And they said, oh, it doesn't matter. All your sweet words are bewildering us. It's like you see, sometimes people get bewildered when they fall in love, right? There was a medical test that when people fall in love, it's the same thing as being under the influence of drugs, cocaine. The brain has the same sort of function. You understand? It's called a CAT scan. They would scan the brain. So the demon said, we trust you. Oh, you're speaking so sweetly. So please divide the nectar up. So Mohini Murti said, okay. Okay, boys. And then she gave it all to the demigods. And the demons, they were just like so bewildered. They were just watching her give it to the demigods. Can you imagine that? They were just watching themselves lose the nectar just because they were bewildered by Krishna's beauty, which is all right, that's Krishna. So then they gave nectar to the demigods, but there was one of the demons who understood what was happening. His name was Rahu, and he snuck in with the demigods, but Mohini Murti discovered what he was doing, and when he drank a little bit of the nectar, went down to the neck, she cut off his head, because Mohini Murti is Krishna, so she was able to take the Sudarshan Chakra, just like you have a chakra here on top of the temple. She was able to take the Sudarshan Chakra and cut off his head. And so now he's only a head. He floats in space. And he's the cause of eclipses of the sun, eclipses of the moon. So such an interesting incarnations. Or let's take another incarnation after that, the fish incarnation. That's called the Matsya Avatar. So this is an interesting story because most of the religious traditions in the world have a story of a big flood. If any of you studied the Bible when you were young, some of you may have gone to Christian school, and there was this guy called Noah. Anyone's heard of him before? Noah's Ark. And God came to him and said, you know, all these people are in Maya. I'm going to kill them all. Except for you and your wife. And, you know, put some children, all the animals on the boat. And there was this big ark. Ark means a boat. So in the Vedic culture, we have a story that goes further back than that. Once upon a time, there was this king. His name was Satyavrata. And he was the only Krishna conscious person. No one else would chant their rounds in the whole kingdom. No one else woke up for Mangalarti. No one else chanted their rounds. And everyone else was eating boga. And so, then Krishna determined, he said, it's time to sort of wipe out everybody, you know, get rid of everybody. And he wanted King Satyavrata to live and to continue the human race. Because Satyavrata was a Manu. Manu means a progenitor or a source of the human race or someone who rules over the human race. There's many Manus, 14 Manus in the day of Brahma. So what happened is that Satyavrata one time was offering respects in the river, offering water, like you take the Ganges water and you offer water back to itself. Any of you who've been in India have seen this, that you take your two palms of water, like this, put them in the water and say some prayers, Gangaya, Namaha, like that, and offer back to the Ganges. So he was doing that, and as he was getting ready to pour the water back from his hands, he heard a little voice, don't throw me back, like that. It's dangerous. Save me, like that. And that was the little fish there, a tiny fish. And he said, wow, a talking fish. Pretty good. I mean, if fish could talk, people wouldn't be eating fish that much, right? fish are entities, too. Just one other point I wanted to make. You know, people think, oh, they can eat fish because it's all right. But fish have the developed nervous system just like you and I do, and they can experience as much pain as you and I can experience. That's a fish. So, I mean, in some places in India, they do eat fish, and they call fish water vegetables. But they're not water vegetables. They're entities like you and me. It's not like seaweed. So the fish began to talk, and so he said, all right, I have to protect you. And he put him into a little pot. He said, all right, sorry. And he took the fish back home. And then next day he gets up and he sees, the fish says, this is too small for me, this pot. So you put me in a bigger pot. So he put him in a bigger pot. And then later on, the fish grew very quickly. He said, you have to put me in a bigger pot. Finally, he put him in a lake and the fish grew a little more. He said, this lake is too small for me. And then he finally put him in the ocean. And then the fish grew and grew, and Satyavrata said, what kind of fish are you? You must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, the Supreme Lord in the form of a fish said to Satyavrata that in a few days from now there's going to be a big flood, and what you should do is I'll send a boat. In this story, Satyavrata didn't have to make a boat. There was already a boat there. In the story in the Bible, Noah had to make a boat. That's the difference. And so he sent a boat. In a few days, there was a big flood, and they tied the boat to the fish with the same serpent we were talking about before, a Vasuki, big, big serpent. And in this way, the fish, incarnation of the Lord, began to speak about spiritual knowledge, a preaching fish. So that's another way that Krishna annihilated the miscreants, established religious principles, and protected the devotees. Then there's the boar incarnation. I mean, I could go through all the incarnations. I'm just going to go through a few and show you how interesting Krishna is. In the boar incarnation, there is this demon Hiranyaksha who disturbed the earth. The earth went down into this ocean called the Garbhodak Ocean. And Krishna appeared in the form of this big pig with tusks to fight this Hiranyaksha demon. Actually, Hiranyaksha means gold eye. It's like you... Anyway, there was one movie many years ago called Goldfinger. Anyway, none of you heard about this. But anyway, it means gold eye one, because he liked gold a lot. Hiranyakashipu means gold bed. Gold and soft bed. So, anyway, so Hiranyaksha was fighting with this boar incarnation, Lord Varaha, and ultimately Lord Varaha killed him in that particular form. So then, of course, then you also have the human appearances of the Lord, like Lord Ram, who killed Ravana. And you have Krishna, who killed Kamsa, and you have Balaram, who killed demons with his club. So what I'm saying is, when Krishna does something, even though he doesn't have to come down, like Prabhupada comments here, to do the killing, because the material energy can kill any of us, and it is killing everybody, because Durga is very capable. Everybody's heard of Durga, right? Durga kills everybody. So Krishna doesn't have to come down to kill. However, but when Krishna comes down to, when he does come down to kill the demons, he comes down to have fun doing it. Because Krishna wants to enjoy himself. And in the spiritual world, Krishna, of course, is enjoying. But there's no serious fighting allowed in the spiritual world. So Krishna sometimes likes to have a serious fight. So he comes to the material world to have a serious fight. It's just like we're all here in Krishna's temple. Like if you get angry at another devotee and want to fight with him, you wouldn't do it in the temple room, right? Isn't that true, Rasamanda? You wouldn't want to yell at someone in the temple room. You say, let's go outside and have a fight. In the same way, Krishna establishes in the spiritual world, because obviously no one can get killed in the spiritual world, because everyone has a spiritual body. So Krishna establishes this system that when he wants to really have a good fight, he goes out of the spiritual world and takes these very interesting forms and appearances, which are all the same as himself, but it's like an actor putting on different clothes or costumes. Like some of you have seen Bollywood films, right? Anyone? No. No, you haven't. You'll see one actor, he plays different roles. Like one of my friends is a Bollywood actor. His name is Vivek Oberoi. Any of you ladies heard of him? Yeah, they all have. Very handsome. The men have not heard of him. You've heard of Sushmita Sen, some of the other girls. No, you haven't. Your whole life is wasted. That's what I'm saying. So, or Salman Khan, you've heard of him? No, you haven't heard of these people? Anyway. What? He has no communication. He's a very unique person. He's like Rishi Sringa. You all know Rishi Sringa? Rishi Sringa had never seen a woman his whole life. The first time he saw a woman, he thought it was just a good-looking man. So just like you have these actors in Bollywood or Hollywood, and they take different roles, right? They're not only in one film, they're in many films. A popular actor can be 100 films, even more than that. There was this one actor in, where is he from, Japan or wherever he is, Jackie Chan. No one's heard of him before. You have. He's been in maybe 200, 300 films. Don't look up his films after this class, please. It's not very good films. So in other words, Krishna puts on all these dramatic roles and he enjoys himself doing it. That's really why Krishna comes down. And his devotees enjoy seeing him doing that. That's why Krishna comes down. And when those of us who are not yet his devotees see Krishna doing that, we become attracted. And when we become attracted, we forget about everything in this world and we want to go back and be with Krishna. Like I've given the example many times before, that before I became Krishna conscious, I heard about some of Krishna's pastimes. One of them was his stealing butter and feeding it to monkeys. Just like you see, Krishna here is crying because he broke the butter pot. Mother Yashoda is chastised. I'm sure Krishna is famous. He's called Makan Chor, right? Makan Chor, Krishna's chor. He's a thief. I mean, Hira Chor means stealing diamonds, right? So Krishna doesn't steal diamonds. He steals butter. So I read about Krishna, Makan Chor, stealing butter, feeding it to monkeys, and I became so attracted that eventually I ended up being a Hare Krishna devotee. Just by reading that one story about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes. And that's really the important thing for us as far as Krishna appearing in this world. That Krishna does this to attract us. So the point is that we should hear and read more and more about Krishna's activities, which are all transcendental. Janmat karma chame divyam evam yoviti chatvataha chatvadeham puna janma naiti mameti sojana. I said the more we hear about these activities, the more our mind becomes attracted. You know, God is a fish. God is half man, half lion. God is a boar. God is a tortoise. Krishna playing his flute, attracting the gopis. We have so many things to hear and read about that our mind will become so attracted, and then ultimately we'll become disinterested in the things of this world. That means detached or not attracted to the things of this world. And then ultimately at the time of death, we'll go back to Krishna, because the whole point is to remember Krishna when you're leaving your body. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yajate ante kalevaram. Anyone know this verse? No. Tam tam evaiti kontiya siddhatad bhava bhavataha. That whatever you think about when you're leaving your body, that's where you'll go. If you're thinking about your dog, you're going to become a dog. Was that nice? Many times I'm preaching in the Western world and I say, you could become a dog in the next life, and they say, oh, that is very nice. Because their concept of dog is the dog stays at home and watches television while everybody is out working. That's, you know, in the Western world, it's like that. And it's getting like that in Fiji too, because I've seen many people walking their dogs here. Even I was in India, where was that? In Bombay, Juhu Beach, which is a place where all the rich people live in Bombay, or Mumbai as they say now. And I take my morning walk on the beach, chanting Hare Krishna, and all the wealthy people, they're walking their dogs with fancy haircuts, not on themselves, but on the dogs. There's this type of dog called a French poodle. You've heard of this before? No? No? You haven't? A French poodle is a little dog, and they cut off the hair around the middle. And he has hair around this portion and on his legs, and a little hairdo on the top. You see? And so all these people in India are walking a dog in the morning. I'm chanting japa, and they're walking the dog and waiting for the dog to do the toilet thing. That is their seva. That is their puja every morning. So then next life, and even in this life, if you see someone who has a dog, after about 4 or 5 years, the master and the dog start to, the faces look similar, don't they? even changing bodies happen in this life. They look very similar. So what to speak of next life? So if you're thinking of that, then next life you'll have a nice dog mother. So the idea is to think of Krishna. But it's not an artificial thing. You can't force the mind to think of Krishna, because the mind is chanchala hi manaha Krishna pramati balavad dridam Tashaham nigraham vanye vayori vashadushkaram. The mind is restless, turbulent, nafsi. You can't control it. But if you're attracted to something, just like the demons I talked about, who are attracted to Mohini Murti, right? So if our mind becomes attracted to Krishna in the same way, then it's easy to remember Krishna at the time of leaving this body. And then chaktva deham puna janma naiti mam eti sojana. Then we go back to Krishna. So this is Krishna's incarnations. So any questions or comments about any of the points I made? We'll try to make it a little interesting. Actually, we spoke for 40 minutes. This is about what I was saying. Questions, comments, arguments, problems? Politics? No? Anyway, thank you all for listening so nicely. The whole point, as I said, is to somehow or other spend as much time as possible hearing about Krishna. And he is so attractive. I mean, I could hear about Krishna 24 hours a day. And we have so many books. Prabhupada has published so many books. The Goswamis of Vrindavan have written thousands of books about Krishna's pastimes. You can hear about these pastimes from now for the next 500 years and not come to an end. Okay? No questions? Next time we're going to pass around pieces of paper for people to write down their questions. And we'll just put them in a big hat and pick them out like that. That's what we should do on Sunday. Isn't it? That's a good idea. Okay. With that in mind, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Gaur.